We're going to see the British cruise. Start if that will help or if that will just get bogged down again. Okay, knowledge is of five types. Indriyarta jnana, sense knowledge. Naiti jnana, moral knowledge. Sheshvara jnana, knowledge of God. Brahma jnana, knowledge of Brahman. Shuddha jnana, pure knowledge. Those living entity with senses can attain sense knowledge. Through the senses, the impressions of the external world are carried to the brain via the nerves. Thus, the first function of the mind, the internal sense, gathers data from the external world. Then the mind, by its second function, places the data in the memory. By its third function, the mind, by combining and separating the data, produces impressions. By the fourth function, the mind classifies the impressions according to their qualities and thereby reduces the complexity. You're up to there. The fourth function. So the mind classifies the impressions according to their qualities and thereby reduces the complexity, right? Because you're trying to make a decision, right? Because the mind accepts and rejects. So this is what you're trying to get to. Now, the problem here is how do you classify? How do you decide on what categories? You know.
According to previous?
Yes, according to your previous samskaras, right? You got all these different things is how you're going to classify. So if it's based on shastra, you classify according to that. If it's not based on shastra, you'll make up your own or borrow from others, or, you know, any kind of mix, any kind of thing like this. But your point is it to serve Krishna or is it for yourself? So you classify accordingly. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
It seems like a constant battle between then we know what we should do and then there is a sense
yes.
control and we can control it.
Really. Yes. That's why it says that you try to rely on the intelligence. Right? Because the mind has to make the decision. Now, of course, when we say you have to rely on the intelligence, factually, what does that mean? Does the intelligence make the decision?
No.
No, the mind. So that means we have to convince the mind that using the intelligence is the right thing to do. Does that make sense? So it's not that, well, you know, it's separate there. It's a matter of the mind the mind making the decision and the mind making the, how you say?
Choice.
Analyzation, right? Means the choice and the analyzation, right? But the difficulty is the even the analyzation is going to be based on the identity of the mind in its previous experience, right? It's still going to have those aspects to it. Does that make sense? That's why we're always trying to convince the mind, because if the mind's convinced, it's your best friend, because then it'll always choose the choice that's intelligent. But if it's not, then it's the worst enemy, because then it chooses whatever it likes according to its previous experience, right? In sense gratification.
But it still uses the intelligence. It just puts
whether you're taking advice from the intelligence, or whether you are simply using the intelligence. You know what I'm saying?
Using or abusing.
Like that. The point is that the intelligence uses the intelligence. The mind uses the intelligence. I don't think the mind has a problem with abuse. You're having made the choice. You, the soul, are the one that gets abused. You know, that's the thing, you know. Yes.
For sense gratification, we also need the intelligence.
You need the intelligence. Yes, it's the same. But what's happening is the mind is controlling the intelligence to just figure out what's the best one for sense gratification. So therefore we'll say the intelligence is being controlled by the mind. But if the mind has accepted that the actual intelligent thing that we should be doing, right? In other words, it's not a matter of, okay, we're going to take all the different things here, right? Second, okay, combining and separating the data producing impressions, right? Then it's because the mind, it visualizes, right? So you're going to combine the data until it creates an impression. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you know, you take something out. You take out this bottom, you take out this top, you take out this, no. This one, no. This one, no. It's not, there's no impression. Then you go, oh, nice. That's an impression. You understand? Then maybe that's you know, it's done. You know, you categorize it as one thing. But also this. And then, does that make sense? So many clothes are there, but how many combinations are there actually? You understand? There's the ideas, no, if I have 30 things, I have unlimited combination, but there's only 4 or 5 things to do with them. Right? Does that make sense? So, because those are the impressions. Now it's just which one for which situation. So then, now you're categorizing. Okay? Now we've created the impression. Now we categorize the impression. Right? According to what, you know, okay, this for this, that for that, so many things like that. So we're reducing it down, so now it's like this. Now it's a matter of, then we'll go to the next point, by the fourth function, the mind classifies the impressions according to their qualities and thereby reduces the complexity. Right? Because now you've gone back into qualities. Because qualities means then there's an activity to get the quality. Because what you're trying to get at is the quality. You want that quality to shine for us. Oh, this is nice, or this is practical, or this is warm, or this is... You understand? You're going to classify like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's not, you know, class one, you know, class two. It's something that gives an impression, yes.
So, when receiving transcendental knowledge, you have two jobs. One is to convince the mind that you should rely on that knowledge, and
yes.
The second is actually applying and understanding.
Yes, yes, yes. Because the point is the soul is who's conscious. Mm-hmm. So it's not that the mind. What happens is the soul is just kind of like, you know, it wants to enjoy the material world. Does the soul actually have the connections?
No.
It's the material. The mind does. So therefore, the soul surrenders to the mind and lets the mind make all the decisions. But ultimately, it's got to be something you like. You know, so if you don't have a bad impression, then that goes into the memory, and so therefore, then the mind will choose from that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you say, no, but it's dead matter. So is a computer. But you put in the information according to whatever data it has. All computers are doing is you know, taking the things, combining them, separating them, and classifying. It's just doing what the mind does. Right? Does that make sense? So that's doing it, so why wouldn't the mind? The mind's just the better one. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you can walk across the street when cars are coming. How do you do that? Right? Because so you're regular, it means that that's even more, you know, you can say, well, no, the computer's so much faster, it can crunch all this. A thing like that is, you know, it's crunching a million things. Okay, you know, if it wants to look up some fingerprints, it can look through, you know, millions of fingerprints and figure something out very quickly. Nice. But the point is it still can't get you across the street. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, is that there's still something more to the mind. Yeah.
So, what is, if the mind is choosing from the experiences and information that it's had in this life, and perhaps...
No, past and present.
Past and present.
Means what's coming in now combined with what is there from before.
Yeah, like the this life plus other lives.
Yes, why not?
So how far back is that going to go and when is that going to end? And like, how do we override...
Well, the end is when you first came in the material world, so it won't have any impressions before that. So you don't have to worry. That's the limit. It won't get more than that. Right? But don't worry. According to this, it means it's been... How you say? According, it means the mind classifies the impressions according to the qualities and thereby reduces the complexity. Now, you're worried it's going to get too complex. But it's easy. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Four categories. Right? That's if you have senses. If you don't have senses, then it's a little more complex. It's six categories. Does that make sense? No senses. If you don't have any senses, you know, like you're a tree or a rock, then, you know, you have to deal with six.
What are the others?
The six are birth, growth, maintenance, reproduction, dwindling, death. Right, but it seems to be a bit slow, you know, like that. So, you know, it takes a while for all these things to be...
Especially for a hook.
Yeah, for a rock, yeah. You know, it's a slow process, so you don't have to worry that it's not going to be too complicated.
Okay, but then, sorry, this is going to be a really stupid question. But if I...
No, just to quote from an authority, my mother would always say, ask a stupid question, get a stupid answer.
I'm expecting that.
Okay, so then go for it.
So if I just say I was like a tiger in my past life, then when I see a rabbit, why don't I want to chase the rabbit?
Because there's McDonald's. Why chase the rabbit? Would you think the tiger would chase the rabbit if it was sitting right there?
No.
Yeah, you chase the rabbit because that's the only way you're going to get it.
Okay, so I'm acting what my...
Yeah, you understand the point? The point is, but something that is the food for your species, when you see it, you want it.
Okay.
You understand? Okay. Because the point is the tiger has a certain kind of desire. So therefore, the senses group around the mind. Does that make sense? So in human life, the senses are different. So then means the desires are different, so the senses group around. So therefore, the rabbit running off is not, you know, something you're too interested in. Does that make sense? Yeah, just because it's different. But the point of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, that remains.
But you said that the mind's going to choose from the experiences that it's had. It's going to...
Yeah, it means every lifetime you've ate, slept, mated, and defended.
Yeah.
Right? And so therefore, any opportunity for that, it's going to take it.
Okay,
so human life means to control those four.
Okay.
Then by regulating them, then you're able to engage them in higher work rather than just animal work. Right? Does that make sense? Because according to this, as we mentioned here in the first sentence, the Seshvara Jnana, knowledge of God, that's where human life begins. The first two aren't human life. Even though that's what the whole planet works by, are these first two. But human life begins at the third. So only if someone has actually knowledge of God, then you're dealing actually with human.
Yeah.
Human society. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. By regulating, then you can bring it up to the human platform. And then from there, try to bring it to the knowledge of Brahman or the spiritual. And from there to the devotional. Does that make sense? So that's why one's trying to control the whole system. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. So Maharaj, you think of choosing, categorizing. When we mention we adopt something for a higher taste, is that we're having a transcendental experience, and then we're leaving previous samskaras and then accepting something which is more...
Because there's new samskaras. That's the whole point. That's why you're trying to create as much samskaras, new positive samskaras possible. Right? So for the materialist, it's pious samskara you're trying to create. Mm-hmm. Right? But the problem is then pride comes in a sense of, you know, self-worth, worth and superiority. So that breeds bad qualities because then it's self-centered again. So then they'll drop down. And the person being so self-centered, it becomes so disturbing that they have to work with others. You know what I'm saying? You're so self-centered, nobody wants to be around you. It becomes even more, you become criminal, right? So then you're put in jail. You don't cooperate there. They got ways to make you to cooperate. So at some point, you just have to surrender to the idea it's not just about yourself. And once you start that process, then it goes positively until it reaches its top. And then it goes down. That's why it's called samsara. It just goes around in the circle like that. So you're trying to break out of that cycle of samsara by connecting it to God. So then it's spiritual, and it doesn't produce any more of the material impressions. So then all your choices are going to be spiritual. Does that make sense? So that's why the Vedas make so much about the different kinds of festivals and this and that. Because you don't do it like, oh, why do we have to do the samskaras? But what do they do on their kid's birthday? Mm. Right? And how old, how archaic, how jaded is happy birthday, that everybody's doing it. Yeah, you understand? Like that. So it's not about that it's old or it's this. It's just about whether you want to do it or not. Because everything is brand new, everything is old. Right? What's new for you is what the other person stopped doing yesterday. That's why it's available for you. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It means you have, here I say, this group of persons, what are they called? Hot rods, right? So hot rods are these old cars, right? And they get them and they fix them up and try to make them look, you know, something like, you know, something powerful and stuff like that. But the thing is how were they able to get a hold of them? Because somebody else thought that they're useless. And now these are, hey, yeah, here these are. You understand? So that's how it all works. It's just what this guy throws out, the next guy, wow, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, why is the example given, you know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade? Because no one wants the lemons. You know, I mean, otherwise it should be, you know, when life hands you $1 million, have a party. You know, should, you know, like that. But there isn't one like that. You know what I'm saying? Yes? No? Yeah. Okay. What happens if life hands you, a bunch of armadillos? You know, make a circus.
Raise them.
When life hands you an old, you know, rusty bent spoon, right? Then, yeah, we won't even get into that. Okay. Yeah. The possibilities are endless. Okay, so we're not going to get into that.
We have to make progress.
Yeah. Okay, so by the fourth function, the mind classifies the impressions according to their qualities and thereby reduces the complexity. It then isolates particular items to increase the numbers again for further analysis. Right? So you've now taken everything, then, you know, put it together in combinations till you actually get things. Then you classify those things, and now then you're looking at elements. Okay, so this guy, what can I do with this? This one I can do with that. So you complete further analysis. Right?
Who chooses the element?
The mind.
According to previous samskaras.
No, well, we're getting to that. Then when it makes the decision Fixed function of the mind, meaning is derived from the conglomeration of impressions. Right? By reasoning, the mind discerns what the person should do and not do. So in this fifth stage, they'll discern what to do. That's based on your false ego. Because even if it's according to past impressions, doesn't mean you'll do it. You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty. So the identity is then ultimately what you'll make the decision. What information you have is based on the past, right? Which is ignorance, right? No? But stored in the memory, which is passion, right? Why store that? You know, because of the desire you can get something from it, right? You don't store anything you don't think you can get something from it. Right? Even if it's a bad thought, you know, you can get freaked out by it, you know, you can get angry from it, you can get revenge, something, because you think those are valuable. Right? So you keep those things. Right? You know, that's why one must remember. Right? Like that. Otherwise, what's the use? Okay? You know? Does that make sense? You know. So, the thing is... I just figured that means it's useful, right? Means there's a pile of skulls, right? Right? Yes. I mean, so that impression is there. And so then you got to go to the future when things are bad also, and that repression and the genocide is there, right? So how are you going to make it look bad? Have a pile of skulls. Right? So see, that's the memory making the connections. Same pile of skulls.
Yeah.
You know, just these ones are a little whiter than those ones, because that one, the sepia took over, while this one is not. You know, it's an HD. So that's the difference. Yeah.
That's there.
Yeah. You know, and this one, they just stand next to them. This one, they step on them. You know, like that. You know, got to have some, add something. You know.
All right.
Okay, so it means, but the you're making the decision based on the false ego, but false ego is also ignorance.
Mm.
You understand? So this whole process... left on its own, all you're dealing with is passion and ignorance. Right? Does that make sense? But the difficulty is the mind doesn't function well unless it's in goodness. So how are you going to bring this process to the mode of goodness?
Dharma.
But it means you're bringing in shastra, authority. Right? Because you're thinking about things that you should be thinking about, making decisions on things you're supposed to be doing. Right, based on an identity that you're supposed to accept. Does that make sense? You know, and particular ways of looking at things. Like we look at things sambandha abhideya and prayojana. Like that. Does that make sense? So these five levels of consciousness. Right? Here he's just saying knowledge is of five kinds. But it's the same level as the five ways of gaining the knowledge. Right? And then there's the how you say, the five levels of consciousness. They're all synonymous with each other. But each one's taking, these levels are there, but one is taking the consciousness, one's taking knowledge, one's the way of acquiring that knowledge. So you have these three different aspects. They're talking about the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yes. So all those ingredients are given to us by Guru and Shastra in the very beginning.
Right, yes.
And then... according to this description, we should be really like developing nice and
yes, yes.
But then somehow many devotees they face a lot of difficulties. So where is the weakness?
Do they value the knowledge? Because generally, what it is what is practical to managerially get something done for a profit. That's taken as the value, rather than. Basing something on the shastra to get something done that you're supposed to do as defined by the shastra. You know what I'm saying? So one has to be able to discern, because the thing is it's mixed. And devotional service means somebody's doing something, you know, unless it's really, you know, something outrageous, then it's always connected to Krishna. And they're doing it to please Krishna ultimately. But in between, it can get mixed with one's own conditioning. So that's why one has to be able to analyze that these aspects are there. If you learn this, you contemplate it, you try to practice it, then with time, it'll just become a natural part of how you do things. In the beginning, it's more difficult. Like, you know, what means when you start doing any skill when it's new, there's a million things happening at once, conflicting, and it's difficult. But with time, they all fit together very nicely. So it's just practice. So if that's valued, but much of the time it's, you know, just be practical. So of them, karma yoga is valued. Jnana yoga is not. You know what I'm saying? But the problem is then if you have a group that values karma yoga, jnana yoga, the tendency is not to do activities. So they just sit around and study and this and that. So the thing is that's why buddhi yoga, it's got to be the activity of the karma yoga based on the knowledge of jnana yoga. Okay? Does that make sense? Otherwise it's into jnana but we don't do anything. Or it's into karma and we don't think. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So the thing is to do stuff that you've thought about, you know, with intelligence. That's what we're trying to get to. So then by adding that, then you've added into the element of the mode of goodness. Then you'll start to even analyze the samskaras that are there. Are those samskaras even of value? Because you don't have to keep those impressions. I mean, they're going to be there. They're going to come up. But it's whether you want to take advantage of them or not. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the baby. Anything it sees, it goes into the mouth. You know, so you teach it, it doesn't do that. Does that make sense?
Sometimes I've seen with devotees that you get a conflict of values.
Conflict of value, yes, yes. That's the thing. So one has to, that's why intelligence is important. That, okay, here's all the different options. Why would you choose the ones and why would you choose the others? Right? Because there's this idea is that if I'm choosing this for me, then it's superior to it's something I'm supposed to do. Somehow or another, if it's something you're supposed to do, it's of a lesser stature than he wants to do it. But that's the mode of ignorance, because it's the other way around. The mode of goodness is superior to the mode of ignorance. You're supposed to do it, that's the mode of goodness. You want to do it just spontaneously, there's no basis for it. It's not your duty, you just want to do it, whatever it is, that's the mode of ignorance. If it's based on Shastra, it's your duty and you want to do it, that's called spontaneous. So that's even more severe. So what people are trying to get to is the spontaneous platform, but they try to do it through ignorance instead of goodness. So it's just bad mechanics. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes.
It seems that this different mystical practitioners, besides Jnana Yogis, they understand something about this
They have some knowledge. You have, but the most of this is coming. It means this kind of definition is come. That means it will focus on the mind. So Patanjali gives that. But the point is they can only use this stuff to advantage when they have controlled the mind by stopping the breath. Does that make sense? Because pratyahara, pulling in the senses, is after pranayama. So that means they put the ingoing breath into the outgoing, stop the life airs. When the airs aren't moving, the mind can be peaceful. Then they can try to wrestle it to the ground. You understand? So that's why it's done like that, because it's so mechanical. But for the devotees, then by connecting it to the Lord, then they're already obtaining the benefits. So then here, pranayama means, life airs means your activities. So your activities are connected to the Lord. Therefore, then the senses, everything become connected to the Lord. So that they're already dovetailed, right? Because there, they're going to do that, control this, pull the senses in, right? Then they're going to start to focus. Then they're going to meditate. Then the super soul. Right? But we're taking it right from the beginning. The super soul is there. Super soul comes in at jnana. Right? That's why jnana and samadhi, those are the highest elements of yoga. And the first six are considered karma yoga. Because all you're doing is, with the body, you're trying to get the karma right, the piety. But from yama and niyama, it's all about the Lord. I'm accepting and rejecting things based on the Lord. I'm situating myself based on the Lord. I'm performing activities based on the Lord. Right? I'm controlling the senses by engaging in the Lord's service. My focus is on the Lord. Right? So already that element of Paramatma has already been dealt with before that. So it's a superior system. You know what I'm saying? It's all yoga. So Patanjali has so nicely described all the how the mind and all that works. But the point is it's, and Shankya will get, because it's taking from Shankya. All it is taking Shankya and focusing on the mental active aspects. Does that make sense? But then you have to apply it. Okay.
Yeah, obviously it's like a non-Vedic path.
Non-Vedic?
Like a path they can go in.
No. Means you can explain, but that, you know, it'll take a long time to deal. I mean, we've been discussing technical things like this for years now, and this is the third day on this paragraph. You know? Because if you catch this, how the mind's working, it just makes life so much easier. Because you know what's going on. You know it's just the mind. You know, think, oh, I'm going crazy and this and that and I can't control it. It doesn't matter. It's something else. You can ignore it. That's the point. The soul can ignore the mind. The point is, we don't want to ignore it, but you can. Right? And then once it's kind of calmed down, then now you can deal. Yes?
When you said before that you go to do something in the service of Krishna, but then your conditioning gets in the way.
It's not so much in the way, it gets mixed with that, because that's what you're working with. Now, the Shastra gives how to work with that. Right? In other words, you have a conditioned nature. But now, if you use that conditioned nature according to Shastra, right, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, according to authority, then it's already engaged properly. Right? So then your choices are basically made. It means, what are your options are already there? Because if not, then you're going to, what's describing here is the mental speculation. I mean, it means this is the mechanics of the mind. Now, if you use it without devotional service, it'll be mental speculation. Use it with devotional service, that's contemplation.
But the example that you were making at that point was to answer Prabhu's question about when somebody is actually very well situated and they've been in Krishna consciousness for a long time, and then something goes wrong, and they just don't make it, even though they've been around for a long time. And then you said it's because it gets their intention to do a devotional service gets mixed with the conditioning. So that seems like a really big problem to me, because how can you ever tell when you're?
Because that's why you always bring it back to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
And they're not doing that. These people are not doing that,
No, yeah, yes.
Okay.
Because it means the choice is something other than what is recommended. You follow what's recommended, then you don't have that problem so much. You don't follow what's recommended, then it's a problem. Right? Because you can see what are the choices. Right? You know, okay, I should do this, but I want to do that. So I should do this, that's the options that the intelligence is given. But I want to do that, that's what the mind is picking. Right? So if the mind is accepted that what the intelligence gives, according to Shastra, is we'll choose from within that. Right? Rather than, you know, okay, there's three ways we could do according to Shastra, but also three ways just, you know, without that. We'll just stick within the three ways there, because then whichever one you pick, it's going to be good. Right? One may be better, but at least it'll be okay.
Seems like there's a big danger throughout one's devotional life that doesn't matter where, what stage you're at, how senior you are, how well situated you are, there's always some kind of danger of.
It's like this. You have a little kid. He's just starting to ride his bicycle. How often does he fall off?
All the time.
Okay. Now, someone who's a professional bike rider, how often do they fall off? Yeah. So it's getting better. And the quality of what they can do in between is so much more. right? The kid's gone 10 feet, fallen off. The other guy's gone, 10 kilometers, then fell off. Actually probably more, 100 kilometers, then fell off. Okay? But the point is in devotional service, nothing is lost, so it's not a problem.
So can I just ask, maybe this, there's no real answer for this, but is there a way, that you can tell that you're doing the wrong thing, like something is telling you, and then you go against it anyway, or is...
Are you speaking from hypothetical, or you're speaking from experience?
Well, I know I can tell now, but...
Yeah, so that's the whole point. You can always tell.
And they just went against it.
Yeah, it's just whether you listen nicely or not. Sometimes you're listening and you don't... Means, in other words, if you don't have the confidence, you will hear it more. You have to have confidence in doing something that you're not supposed to. You may hear it less. That's why you want to keep good association. That's why it always mentions, keeping good association. The problem is not... Devotional service is dangerous. No, that's the part that's not dangerous. The material world is dangerous. Does that make sense? It's just like this. If which would be better? I drop you in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Mediterranean Ocean, which one would be better? Yeah, so that's the point. That's the material world. It's just, there's no ideal place in the material world. Every place is dangerous. So the only safe thing is devotional service. So it's not, devotional service is so difficult. No, devotional service is the easy part. It's that our choices to not apply devotional service, that's the danger, just because of habit. We've always been not applying devotional service. Right, so now suddenly that's applying devotional service, that's a new thing. Does that make sense?
And can you just please clarify?
It means seemingly new. It means that's the natural position. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like devotees that think, there's just a few of us. It means there's 33 million demigods. They're all devotees. And those are the heads. Does that make sense? And then there's so many others. Does that make sense? When the demigods, let's say, go to a sacrifice, does one of the demigods ask, who's the funny guy with the four arms, who's blue with the four arms? No, everybody knows he's Vishnu, he's supreme. Does that make sense? So the thing is it's just a matter of... But we'll take it that, there's only a few devotees. Devotional service is what the whole universe works on. But it's not necessarily as committed as required to go back to Godhead. Right? Does that make sense? The demigods, they're interested in their money, their personal beauty, their vehicles, all these different things, their powers, authority. So it's the same thing. One's attracted by those things here, then that's the next stop. How good does it get around here? It's like, how much can you control? You go there, you can control. You're in charge of eyelid blinking. This means everybody's eyelids blinking. You're in charge of that. That's big. Everybody blinks, right? Does that make sense? So the whole point is it's just a further extension of that mix. But the point is if you stick to the association of pure devotees, then you don't worry about that mix. You worry about what's pure. You know what I'm saying? So when we say glass is half empty or half full, right? So the half full is, that's the devotional service. That's the pure devotional service side. The half empty, that's the material mix. So it's what you focus on. So if the mind knows that we should focus on that positive, then it slowly, slowly accepts that fact and then makes the choices accordingly. You know what I'm saying? And that may be
we're intelligent enough to hear that and then apply it immediately, or we hear that and and then, you know, something goes wrong and okay, maybe we should have done that, and then the next time, well, you know, and it takes a few times until okay, then I'll do it like that. But in any case, once you get to that position where you're making decisions based on Shastra, right, it's called Shastra Chakshus, right? Then things go much more smoothly. Does that make sense? And then when that becomes stable and steady, that's when it becomes very dynamic. But any touch with devotional service is already dynamic. We're just talking about more dynamic.
Is that? So what did you mean by good association and bad association? Like you mentioned pure devotees. I don't know if everyone has access to that, or is it just that I'm not seeing...
It's a matter of vision.
Okay. So there's pure devotees all around?
Yes, all everywhere. You just have to look around and see. You know, any Russians here? Yes, here. Yeah, okay. Then you know that was Where are they? No, the point is what you're looking for is the pure devotional element in any devotee.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not just looking to hang around, you know, Maharajas and.
No, I mean, the point is this: you take advantage of whatever you can, but if you look, you can see something appropriate in everybody.
Right.
Okay, so that
the
is...
dropped.
Huh?
The dime dropped.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's just...
No, I've been really wondering this for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. Yes, okay? Makes sense? Because that's the point. Because that is saragrahi, means taking the essence. Means you leave the parts that aren't good and you take the part that is good. Like that. Okay. By the fifth function, the mind, meaning is derived from the conglomeration of impressions. Okay, now meaning is there. Because now meaning means it applies to your situation. Okay. This fifth function is called reasoning. By means of reasoning, the mind discerns what the person should do and should not do. Right? But the point is here is meaning is derived, but that meaning is come to by your identity. Right? In other words, you have something, if you identify as a materialist, then it's meaningful to use in sense gratification. If you identify as a devotee, it's meaningful to use in the Lord's service. Right? Does that make sense?
Maharaj, even in devotional service, within our condition, we'll take some elements from that identity.
Means from the devotion. It means otherwise, why one's a devotee? In other words, one's doing that. All we're doing is pointing out the weaknesses so that one can apply it in the life. But the point is that one's a devotee means you're applying the devotional element. It's just that it's not necessarily as regular as one would like it to be, or as full as one would like it to be. But that's just practice. That's why it's called sadhana bhakti. But if you're aware of it, then you can practice. The sadhana gets better.
Okay. Yeah, even as a conditioned devotee, you get the... your conditioning, and you apply it in devotional service.
Yes, well, that's how you purify it. Anything you have, you take your attachments and use them in Krishna service, so they become purified. Because we use our attachments for ourselves, right? But now the process of engaging the attachment, right? You see the opportunity for results, you know, connected with that attachment. So that means you have to have that proper knowledge, the proper endeavor to get that result that of what you can be attached to. But the difference is now we're doing it so when we get the result, it's for Krishna, not for ourselves. Does that make sense? So that's where it gets purified. And then by that practice, then because then if it's not for Krishna, then those previous activities aren't karma. So they no longer produce material impressions. Right? So then one becomes purified. And if you've done something connected to Krishna, you want to do it again. Just like if you do something materialistic, you want to do that again. That it creates the seed. Right? Yes.
When you have an attachment to something, that means you'd be getting something out of that, some sort of pleasure, and it may be material, but then when you connect it to Krishna, it's spiritual. But
or spiritualized.
It's spiritualized, okay. But because you're actually getting some, just say you're getting sense enjoyment out of that thing, then or activity, then. You can tell yourself that I'm connecting this to Krishna, but is like, does the mood have to be there completely, or are you just going to tell yourself and you're just going to do it with that intention and the mood will come later, or do you really have to have that mood from the start?
No, I mean, but which do you mean by the mood?
The mood of, yes, I'm definitely doing this for Krishna.
Is it definitely, that's a determination to do it for Krishna.
Okay.
But whether you're successful at that or not, that's another thing. That takes practice,
okay.
Right? Because it's a skill.
Yeah. But the determination counts.
The determination, of course, counts. Anything connected to Krishna counts.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Anything not connected to Krishna doesn't count.
Yeah.
It keeps us in the material world, but it doesn't count because it's not a value. That's why one thing connected to Krishna is worth, you know, a whole unlimited lifetimes not connected to Krishna.
It's just that word connected to Krishna. For me, it's not connected until it's actually I'm 100% doing Krishna.
No, but the point is that's then it's 100% connected.
Okay, right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But you've connected at 5%, you get that 5% benefit.
Okay, and you just keep doing like that.
Yeah, and then after a while, then the 5% becomes 10%.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then that just goes on, right? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah,
and that's how you make profit. Right? It's called investment. Yeah. Yes.
It said that by means of reason, the mind discerns what the person should do. So,
yes.
With time and Krishna consciousness, attachments they usually lessen. So, and then you. You don't identify.
Lesson means they teach you, or you've learned from them.
They become less.
They become less. Okay.
Should they? I mean, at least the serious ones they remain, and the small ones they go away.
Yes.
And then you don't identify with the mind in many things, but in those serious ones you do.
Yes. So that's why. But then you're able to take more advantage of this. You know what I'm saying? Because because in here the reasoning then you have it's more connected to Krishna.
But even though you know, sometimes still you know you tell yourself it's.
But at least you know.
Helps a lot.
Yeah, but I'm saying you know, so that then if you choose it, then you'll find it's nice, and if you don't choose the right thing, then you'll be able to tell yourself, "I told you so." No? Yeah, so, and then you can, okay, then let's try it again. So, see, at some point, see, it's because the mind is, the living entity is looking for pleasure. And if you do something and it doesn't give you pleasure, after a while, you start to doubt whether that's actually valuable. You know what I'm saying? Because even the greatest thing that you want, after a while, it doesn't really have that much pleasure. Otherwise, why do people change from one activity to another? An activity that was so important to them with time is not so, it doesn't give so much taste. So that's the nice thing about the material world, is because everything's temporary, and it's not, means that chit and ananda has been basically repressed, that the amount that you're getting is so small that after a while that little smallness kind of, you know, you see it, it's only that big. Then the new thing comes along. Oh, that's big. No, it's also only that big. But it takes you a while to figure it out. You understand? So that's the advantage, is you know it will reduce. That's why you keep doing it in connection with Krishna consciousness. Because then that combination of that knowledge and that attempt then will slowly wear away. So when it reduces down, then you go, this is not worthwhile, rather than coming up with a new plan. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just time. So that means everybody can do it, but you have to know that it's not just, you know, what Matthew said. You just tell yourself that it's connected. It's actually you have to be making the endeavor, right? Because it's not connected until you connect it. To just say it's connected doesn't make it connected, right? Because in the material world, what you say and the thing aren't the same. The spiritual, you say, it is the same. You talk about Krishna's name, or talk about Krishna, you are connected to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? But you talk about your car, you're talking about a car. Right? Now when you connect that to Krishna, then it becomes connected. You know what I'm saying? So you have to actually do it.
When you get pleasure from devotional service, it's not that you take from Krishna, you just take part.
You take
but
part in
pretty
it.
Pretty selfish still.
The point is you are a self. You know, you exist. So existing is not a problem. Right? So the problem is not the real problem is that I exist. No, existing is just the way it is, right? So it means yeah. So and Krishna is Ananda. Right? We're part and partial of that. So the point is that Ananda, when shared with Krishna, that's what's special. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you do something that you really like to do on your own as compared to doing what you really like with somebody else and seeing that they're happy doing it, which is better. Yeah, so that's the point. So being happy is not the problem. Being happy without Krishna, that's the problem. You know what I'm saying? So it's not the principle. We take it that it's the principle of, oh, if I'm happy or if I like something, then that's bad. No, it's not. That's not the problem. The problem is you like something that's not connected to Krishna. That's the problem. You like things connected to Krishna. That's the normal. You know what I'm saying? If I have nothing, then that's Krishna conscious. No, if you have whatever you have is connected to Krishna. Right? That was Ramanuja's point with the servant. And the sannyasis. The sannyasis had one piece of cloth, but they were attached to it. Well, that servant, him and his wife, because he was a wrestler, and he was teaching wrestling to the king. So then the king would give all kinds of gifts. So he was very, very wealthy. But he saw everything in connection to the Lord. So it's not how little you have, it's whether it's connected to the Lord. Now, if you have little and connect that to the Lord, that's easier, right? The less things you have, the easier it is to connect it to the Lord. But it's not that it can't be done. Ambarish Maharaj, he's the example of connecting everything to the Lord. Yudhishthir Maharaj. Right? That makes sense? Yeah.
I also recall in a previous class you mentioned that if you attach to something, you look what is attracting you. That's Krishna. That
yes. Is Krishna. Means that's the quality right here, mentioned here. By the fourth function, the mind classifies the impressions according to their qualities and thereby reduces the complexity. It then isolates particular items to increase the number again to further analysis. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Can you please give an example of the internal dialogue of someone who would be connected? Just say someone does have an attachment to a car or cars. Can you give an example of what that would sound like of them connecting the car to?
Okay, so what about the car is attractive?
Okay.
No, what about it?
It's a utility vehicle that can be used for farming.
A utility vehicle can be used for farm. So the practicalness of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the point is practicalness is Krishna.
Okay.
It's not the vehicle. That's practical. The vehicle is a medium that is a form that can be used in an activity that manifests, allows practicalness to manifest.
Okay.
You understand? So that process, that's Krishna.
So
right? That you understand? So that's connected on the Brahman platform. Now using it to do some specific service for Krishna, then that's connecting on the Bhagavan platform. Right? Or whether you should be using the vehicle in that way or not, is it your service? That's the Paramatma platform. You understand?
So one way is to know all of Krishna's qualities and then you can identify which.
It's not all the qualities. It means if you know all the qualities, that's good, because then you can think about Krishna. But the point is the qualities that attract you are the ones that you need to focus on in your practical. I mean, your studies, you study them all. But in your practical contemplation, it's the ones that you're attracted by.
Okay.
Right? Because there's unlimited qualities. You can't deal with all of them.
Yes.
You deal with those ones, because your conditioning is limited.
Yes.
You know, an individual's conditioning is limited. It's not the total, you know, material substance. You know, right? It's limited. It's just a certain part of it. So that means there are certain, so that means that it has certain forms and certain activities that are natural to it. Right? So forms and activities are only there, they're the ones that manifest the quality. The quality is the original cause. Right? The forms and activities that are the blueprint, it means of what are the principles that can be used to manifest that quality, that's the formal cause. Right? So those are the two higher elements of causation. Right? So you work from there to connect it. Then you see the practical in how to work it in the situation.
So you know what Krishna's qualities are, and you know yourself, and then...
Yeah. You understand? Because it's not all. You're not attracted by everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like let's say you have the utility bumper. I mean utility vehicle. Is a shiny bumper important?
No.
Okay, so therefore the social elements of it aren't important to you. Right. But the utility elements are important. Right? But now most utility vehicles, how utilitarian are they?
These days.
Yeah, it means you have an off-road vehicle, right? Big old clunky off-road vehicle. It's big. It's got the big hood. It's this and that. Okay? And it's got the big wheels. But if you notice, the wheels are 22 inches and the tires are low profile. So that means you can't even take it on a dirt road, let alone off-road. Right? You're on a nice German highway. It works good, right? Especially around Bavaria. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So it's not actually a utility vehicle. It's just got the utility profile. You understand? It means just like how you say? You know, Land Rover? Okay. Now, there's the kind that has that has what it looks like, you know, and it's got those kind of wheels that I talked about, okay? Now they just made another one where they dropped the top down and put a little more angle on it. Right? See, and that means it looks more cool and all that. But the problem is you can get less inside. Okay? Okay? Now, these are all the ones that people buy for the road and going around town and all that. Maybe, you know, they live a little bit out in the country, so they got a few dirt roads they ride on and stuff like that. So they're good like that. But the people that actually go and work off-road, they buy these funny little boxy ones that no one ever sees. But if you look them up, they're just like boxes. They look like Jeeps, like something from the 40s. But they're actually more expensive than those fancy ones. You know what I'm saying? You just don't see them, because those are actually the utility vehicles.
Yeah.
You understand? So the point is it's what is of value to you? You understand? So is it the actual utility of it? Or is it the, you know, the social element of it? You understand? Like, why does some, like before, I don't know about now, why does somebody buy a Volvo?
The
safety. You understand? So that means that's the value. So that's why they didn't worry before that it looked like a box. Right? And then when people don't value safety so much as more, then they have to try to work on, you know, the aesthetics a little bit. You understand? So the whole idea is that it's a matter of what your value is what you do. Right? Why does somebody buy a Porsche? Okay, yeah, like this. But what aspect of cool? You could also, you know, drive up in a Stutz beer cat. Wealthy, okay. But you could also, in that case, get a Rolls Royce. Okay, but I mean, they're generally known as kind of like a racy, kind of powerful car. Right? Does that make sense? But it's not just power, otherwise you get one of those American stalkers. Right? You know, it's big, big Hemi with the thing sticking out of the front, you know, really looking funny like that, you know? Does that make sense? So the point is it's what exactly you're looking for. It's just muscle. Then you get that. If it's power, you know, but the roadability, then you get one of these. If it's power and roadability, but also that class, then you get a Bentley. You know what I'm saying? So it's just these, all these different things. What are we dealing with here? You're dealing with qualities. You understand? So that quality is your value. That's why you are attracted by that particular vehicle.
But how can your value of wanting to appear rich, how can you connect that to Krishna? Like, isn't that just some ego thing? Like, how is that a good value?
Okay. Now, can you make money in the circle of other rich people if you look like, you know, they you know, you crawled out of the, you know, the gutter? Yeah, so that's the point. You're going to a meeting, you're going to make a contract. Wait, it means you make lots of money and you give lots of money to Krishna. Okay, so you're very humble and all that. So then when you have the meeting and all that, you pull up and, you know, because you had it, you know, imported, but you brought it across by ship, right? You know, like that. Is, you know, one of these old, you know, 1960s VW, you know, hippie buses, you know, like that. You know, they still make them in Brazil, right? You know, so then, you understand?
Yeah.
You know, so you pull up on that. How is your contract going to go? Right? Unless everybody else in the meeting's got a ponytail and wearing jeans, they're that rich. Then it doesn't matter. Then it's kind of like cool, right? But if they're not, if they're wearing a suit, you better drive up in, you know, something special. You know, one of these top, whatever they consider a top-end car. Right? Does that make sense? You know, if they're young guys and this and that, then it should be sporty. If they're older, then it should be a Maybach. You know, like that.
So really, if you're not going to one of these meetings and you're not trying to look rich and cool for...
No, then if you're British, you go around in your Mini, yeah.
Then you should... But other than that, you shouldn't be, like, wanting these cars.
No, it's just that's what you, that's the useful, right? You know, in other words, you have the Bentley for going to these meetings, you know, like that. You have the Land Rover, means your, what do you call it? You know, your Land Rover for, you know, little outings with the family. You have the Hummer for going, you know, shopping. You know, it means you have all those different things, you know. I mean, where do you put all the stock? Like that, you know. You just want to get away, you know, because you got to think and, you know, get some rounds done. You know, then you have your roadster. You know, you know what I'm saying? So that's all the things that you have. Like that. And if you want to park, you have a Smart. You understand? So it's all based on qualities. That's what we're trying to point out here, is there's nothing that's not based on qualities. We think it's about the thing. It's nothing about the thing. The thing is able to manifest that quality. You're attracted by the quality. That's all. And that goes in anything. Because the same, we talk cars there. But what about clothes? What clothes do you pick? It's the same thing. What are your values? You know? Is it a formal thing? Is it a dress thing? I mean, is it a dress thing? Is it a sport thing? Is it just relaxed thing? You know what I'm saying? You know, what are you trying to do with it? That's why you like something. Oh, you got your favorite piece of clothing. What's favorite about it? It's comfortable. Or it's practical. Or I've had it for 5 years and it doesn't wear out. You know?
Stains.
Stains, yeah, so many memories. You know, like that. Like that, you know. You know, yeah, this one was, you know, this was the spaghetti at this guy's party, you know, like that, you know, you know, stuff like that. You know. That was his one. When the time the guy poured the, you know, the mug over his head, right? You know, so you know, these are points to remember, you know, like that. This one's when, you know, we got my first brawl and I lost my first tooth, like that. Like that. You know, like that. And does that make sense?
So just going back to the cars for a second. So if you...
And then there's Father Flanagan, right? You know, so, yes, go ahead.
if you are have an attachment to cars, like a certain car, but you're not trying to be a rich person, trying to impress rich people to make money for Krishna, then you shouldn't...
It means if you can understand that that's only just that attachment, but if that attachment is such, you have the facility and all that, and you're going to think about it anyway, then you have that car. But the point is what you're attracted to by the car is still Krishna. It's not the car. Because that potency that you see in the car that you value, it's still Krishna. But we think it's the car.
But if you do get the car, wouldn't it be sense enjoyment?
The point is, you're seeing that actually what you like about it is Krishna. Then it reduces it very quickly, it gets purified, and then it just becomes a car.
Right. So instead of suppressing it, you should still get it.
Means the point is you try to, by using your intelligence, get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way. Why go through the trouble of getting the car? Just because you have an attachment to that particular kind of car. If you need a car, okay, you have to get a car.
Yeah.
And so since you're attached to that kind of car, you have the facilities for that, it will actually work practically in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, so like, let's say you want one of those, you know, how you say, you know, 20-meter long, you know, stretch Hummers, right? Now, the problem is you know, you got to go down and park in downtown London. You know, it may not be practical. You know what I'm saying? So you have to work these things out. So the point is you need a car, and so you like this particular kind of car. It will work for what you want to do. Then what's the problem? You get that car. But you have to know that what you like about that car is not the car, it's Krishna. It's not, oh, it's Krishna, so it's all right. But unless you can explain how it's Krishna, how is it Krishna? It is Krishna, that we know, but how do you know it's Krishna? How do you point it out? You understand? You know, it's the same principle. You know, oh, you never say you love me. Of course I love you. Well, prove it. Now what? You understand? You have to actually do it. Does that make sense? So you get the benefit when you do it. You don't do it. If you think about it, at least you're getting some benefit by thinking about it, but you won't get serious benefit until you actually do it. That make sense? Yeah. That work? Means all you have to do is, you know, if cars aren't what you're in, remove car and put whatever else it is, an item of attachment. In other words, that was the formula for working with the particular item of attachment.
So we won't need to go through other lists.
No. Yeah, we don't have to go through. You know, my favorite yacht, you know.
Hollow.
Okay, yeah, but the thing is that when it's offered to Krishna, then, but halava without being offered to Krishna, then that's... You know. But then what about the halava do you like?
Everything.
So what is this everything?
The amount.
Okay, you like the amount, so it means Krishna volume, because Krishna is... He is everything, okay? Anything else?
No,
just volume. So I mean, it could be a bucket of sawdust also. That's volume, you know. Cow dung, hey, you know, a lot easier to come by, you know.
Yeah, no, sweetness.
Sweetness, okay. But Krishna is the sweetest.
Yeah.
Sweetness comes from him.
Structure?
Yeah. The texture, right. Even if you take a new green leaf off the tree, you know, that super soft one, if you touch the skin, it'll leave a little bruise. It means it'll go away, but it'll make that mark. You know, like that. So you can't get softer than that. But at the same time, it's, you know, full and firm. You know, so it's not mushy.
Yeah. Good.
Okay, so you see, all these qualities go back to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
That work?
Yeah.
You know? And the bucket, it holds all the hollow, right? You know, so that all accommodating potency, right?
The raisins are like the surprise, so it's like adventure.
Adventure, but I would say that's more the you know, that adbhuta, that you know, wonderment, you know, that's a secondary rasa. You know,
what about
may take
nuts?
You a while before
nuts.
You start eating them.
The nuts we were means.
No, not in the hollow.
It means you want to talk about the guys that are asking the question. I thought better not to make it personal. You know. We'll just deal with the questions.
It's going to be many, many classes before we get any further if we have to deal with us.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What is the best place that we can find out about all of Krishna's qualities and all this, like, is it Krishna book?
Yeah, the combination between Krishna book and nectar devotion.
Okay.
I could probably say. Because all of Krishna's qualities are mentioned in the second part of nectar devotion. So between those two. Okay, so did we finish this? Huh? Yeah, I think we have the.
By means of this
one more line.
No. Through the faculty.
Yeah, well, the only problem is there's a lot to say on that last sentence. Okay. But, you know, it's nice. Because otherwise, without all the back study, we wouldn't be able to discuss that much off of this one paragraph. Yeah. So that means there's so much knowledge on the back. But now it's coming to the point where we're trying to see how to apply it. So that's therefore it takes time. Then once that's there, then this can come up and work very easily. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurupe. I think tomorrow we'll just start with the next time we'll start with just with the fifth point and we won't go back.
Yeah.